Let's go out to dinner and see a movie. Let's go out to dinner and see a movie.
Well, we've been talking about this film since they showed some clips back at the Cannes Film Festival. James Cameron's latest attempt at reinventing the medium of film is out this weekend. His first feature since Titanic broke just about every blockbuster record in 1997. Now we have Avatar, $230 million, 3D, computer animated, sci-fi, bonanza, with a few cultural issues thrown in as well. Takeaway film contributor Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, is here. We also have Jeff Yang, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. Rafer and Jeff, good morning.
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 I mean, I guess, Jeff, you're here for the sort of trend issue. I mean, how have we all changed as humans? Rafer, you're here to sort of evaluate the movie as movie. Has Cameron done it again?
Well, it's a pretty incredible looking film. You know, when I go see computer animation movies, I don't mean something more like Toy Story, but something like Lord of the Rings, where you're seeing these entirely dreamed up creatures on and sort of people like forms on the screen. I always put it through a smile test to see if the people's faces can actually do a smile that actually makes you feel good and is something you recognize as a human smile.
Something and, beyond a puppet.
Yeah, something beyond a puppet. I mean, you can always make, you know, computer faces scowl and growl and drool saliva and do things like that, but a smile is pretty difficult to do. And this film pretty much does it. You really see the emotion on these creatures' faces. It's pretty incredible.
Now, that's kind of a techie answer, but did this get to your heart? Did it grab your sort of gut?
It's a corny film when you, I mean, if you really just
so
strip it away, you know, but it's a corny film, but I think it works and it's a lot of fun.
Here's the trailer.
They've sent us a message that they can take whatever they want, but we will send them a message that this is our land.
Now, unlike Titanic, which is a well-known story, this is a brand new story with even new words for the language, including Navi. Jeff Yang, Cameron is known for these big, big ideas. Does he succeed here?
You know, I think the amazing thing about this film is that, like many other films since he actually back, you know, I think in 1996, first started really playing with this medium of 3D. You know, he has taken this technology and he's kind of proven once again that he's a master of putting technology at the service of this medium as opposed to, you know, kind of putting the medium in the service of technology.
And part of the realism here is because the story itself is about shedding your body and becoming this avatar, and so the quality of the animation really is about the story itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's really woven the two things together. And, you know, it's important to note here that, you know, the very fact that he's taken these alien beings as kind of the representative here is part of what makes the story work. He's not forcing us to sort of believe photorealistic human beings are coming to life. They're still 10-foot-tall cat people. But he's layering human emotions on them.
And one of those 10-foot-tall cat people is played by Sigourney Weaver. And this is her assessment of the technology.
The level of technology is now so refined with this particular movie that all of the facial expressions, everything you see, it's not painted on. It's not us voicing these faces, these puppets. This is the actors coming through the Navi identity as these other people.
She's a Navi, but is it acting Rafer Guzman?
Yeah, she actually is a human, much like the main character, Jake, Sam Worthington. She's
right.
A human who also links her brain to a Navi body. So she's not actually a Navi the way that Saldana is. However, is it acting? Yeah, it really is. I mean, the details in the facial expressions, the eye movement, everything about it, it's pretty amazing to watch.
Now, I'm a paraplegic, okay? And the part of the story here is a paraplegic sheds his wheelchair and body and takes on this avatar. Am I going to want to do this after I see this movie, Rafer?
Do you want to be 10-foot tall and blue? It depends, you know.
Mean, you know me so
a nice
well.
Nice teal.
You know me so well. What do you think, Jeff?
You know, the secret cat people fantasies that we all have are coming to life here. You know, I think that one of the things that movies do is really to help us kind of propel us out of our seats and live in the being of sort of these avatars on screen. And, you know, this is taking it one step further with technology, I think.
Now, Titanic was tepidly reviewed. People said it's a, you know, they don't make movies like this anymore. It's really schmaltzy. But it was just a huge, huge success. A teenage girl saw it 5, 6, 7, 10 times. Is this going to do the same kind of thing with probably a different group of filmgoers?
I have to say I loved Titanic, and I actually saw it after the hype, when the backlash had started, and you know, and you didn't want to be seen as a teenage girl. But I went and saw it and thought it was fantastic, and I got choked up in the theater. I don't think this one is going to have quite the same power. I can't see people going back and seeing this repeat times to, you know, to boost its numbers the way that, you know, they did with Titanic.
So successful, but not a legend like Titanic, maybe.
If you talk to box office analysts, I think a lot of them are expecting a strong but not overwhelming opening weekend for it.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think we'll see that after this weekend.
All right, let's do trivia. Jeff, Rafer, Celeste, here's the question. Okay, can you name two Jeff Bridges cult movies? Two Jeff Bridges cult movies where he was the lead actor. Rafer?
I can get at least half the answer with Big Lebowski,
okay,
which is the obvious one.
Jeff, how about you?
Boy, lead actor.
It was the Avatar of its day in the 80s. Think.
Boy.
Digital, techie, computer.
1980s.
Buckaroo Banzai?
Tron.
I still don't understand why you want to break into the system.
Because, man, somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence. If I got in far enough, I could reconstruct it.
So we would have accepted Big Lebowski. We would have accepted Rancho Deluxe, which came from John, one of our listeners. We accepted, of course, Tron. And Christian got them both, the Big Lebowski and Tron. Thanks so much for both of you, Rafer Guzman and Jeff Yang.
So it's not a trivial question, actually. It's a real question. How do you beat the fine print? Our series Life in Fine Print wraps up today. And we're asking, what advice do you have for people so that they don't get burned by the tiny type that's on the back of every one of their bills? Maybe you've learned to read everything you get. And let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. If you've missed anything, we're always on here at The Takeaway. Take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes.
More Jeff Bridges cult film suggestions coming in. Starman, says Adam Hirsch.
Well, that's
on
a
our
cult
website.
Film.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would have accepted Starman. Absolutely. We love any of your responses. You know how to reach us. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.